Ireland is internationally famous for its dairy produce, and yet perhaps surprisingly, we are not considered among the world's greatest cheese-producing countries. Indeed, up until the 1980s, very few people in Ireland were probably even aware that cheese could be anything other than cheddar. But in the last 30 years, we've seen massive growth in the cheese industry in this country, particularly in the area of farmhouse cheeses. So, is Ireland on the cusp of becoming one of the great producers of artisan cheese? And if not, why not? To discuss this and other cheesy-related questions, we've assembled three experts in the field. They are the owner and founder of Sheridan's Cheesemongers, Kevin Sheridan, maker of the award-winning Culaten Cheddar, Tom Burgess, and senior cheesemonger with Fallon and Byrne, Peter Conway O'Neill. You're all very welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank
Kevin,
you.
I want to start with you. 21 years ago, your entry into the cheese business, remind us of it.
It was myself and my brother Seamus down in Galway. We were both there for one reason or another. And we were both into food, particularly Seamus's chefing. And we knew that Irish farmhouse cheese was exciting because we'd come across some, and the Galway market was really thriving at the time, new things happening. So we rang up some cheesemakers and they posted up some cheese, and we built a stall, and we arrived out in the Galway market at 5 o'clock in the morning, and something that we were going to do maybe for the summer, and here we are.
So would it be wrong to suggest that maybe you sort of stumbled your way in?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so you did. And you graduated from farmers markets to retail shops.
Yeah, it was fairly quick in the beginning. We set up that market in 1995. We opened a little kiosk in the shopping centre in Galway up at Air Square for a few months. But we knew we wanted something different, so then we got a nice shop to store the cheese in as much as anything, put a fridge on the roof and turn the whole thing into a cold room, started maturing the cheese in the shop. Just really learn as we go along, because it was at that time there was no template, there was no way you were going to do it, which was great. It made us be creative, so we just had to create this new way of doing stuff.
Okay, well, stay with us because we've lots to talk about here around cheese. I want to bring in another guest now, Peter Conway O'Neill. Peter, you're the cheese buyer, let's call you, at Fallon and Byrne, among one of your duties.
Indeed. Okay. I would be part of a kind of team collective of purchasing. But yeah, it's been interesting. Like my trajectory with cheese, like, it really has become kind of more fortified as a professional in the last like 4 or 5 years. I've always been kind of orbiting around it, but I think what I've kind of noticed in the last couple of years particularly is that there has been much more of a presence of Irish farmhouse cheeses, and I think that an audience there has been continuously growing, and I think that's quite important, particularly for the idea of like just protecting kind of provenance and stuff.
So just listening to Kevin's story there, again, like, could I sort of maybe draw a parallel with cheese around maybe things like even coffee, where the consumer is becoming educated, people are travelling, people are trying new things, and people become, and then, you know, education almost fuels the growth in the particular sector.
I think what's occurring as well of late is that, and I think it was great with Sheridan's, like, Sheridan's really kind of set the foundation for like having a specialist place for someone to go to for cheese at that time. A lot of people had worked at Sheridan's from the beginning, had now kind of like had moved forward onto them to Fallon and Byrne. So I think what's occurred is that like having someone who is like kind of standing there as an ambassador for a certain product that's not necessarily sitting on a kind of a pre-pack wall, that in an anonymous kind of way, you have someone there who's able to have some kind of established some kind of authority on the subject, having dealt with the makers themselves, having spent time down with it on the farms, making the cheese with them, okay, inside them, and now being able to kind of report that knowledge back to other people. But it's quite reflexive, I think, with customers, because even I found like lately, people are becoming much more having their own kind of sense of authority and exploring much more kind of avenues of cheese, which has never really been the case before, I had noticed.
Okay.
That's much more stronger now. So even for me, I even think that I may have a little bit more extra knowledge than someone might have in terms of a customer coming in. Those people themselves now, I find quite reflexive, because it's almost a case of standing beside a product, you've been working with it for so much, it's almost like you can't see the wood for the trees sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, having someone else here to come in and just talk about the nuance of the cheese, the texture of something else here, and what little story they can bring to it as well, is almost just builds on your own enterprise of knowledge.
Okay, let me bring in an actual cheese maker here now, and I've kept you to last, Tom, because A, you brought cheese with you, and B, we want to get into the inner mind of a cheese maker. So Tom Burgess, he's the owner and cheese maker at Culaten Cheddar. You're very welcome to the programme, Tom.
Thank you, Bobby.
Tell us about the life of a cheese maker. Tell us about your typical day, how it all works.
Well, when we make cheese during the summer when the cows are eating freshly growing grass, so I get up quite early in the morning, 6 o'clock, and get out and get my cows in and get them milked. And I make my cheese vat holds all the milk from the cows on that day. So
you're using your own cows?
My own cows, own cows' milk. And the cows are milked once a day. So it's a long break since the last previous milking. The milk goes in warm into the cheese vat, and that's just the right temperature for the starter. It's pumped directly from the milking parlour. No storage, no time for spoilage. And the process begins at around 8 o'clock.
And how do you sort of control the supply and demand end of it then? Obviously, you've got an infinite amount of milk relative to your own cattle.
Yeah. Well, my cheese has matured for a year before I start to sell it.
Right.
So I put it all into the maturing room at around 10 degrees for the first year, and then it goes into the cold room and we start to sell it from the cold room.
What about that point, Tom?
It's quite difficult to manage stock control. I mean, we just basically we're increasing production every year.
Yeah.
Or nearly every year. We have in the last 3 years anyway.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about is your investment in your stock effectively.
Yeah,
that if you the maturation process.
Exactly. Explain
that to me.
So I have to make a full year's production and put it on in storage before I get any return from it, any sales from it. So there's quite a lot of money tied up in stock.
And does that, I presume that's logical then, the fact that a vintage cheese or an aged cheese is going to be more expensive because you've got to wait longer for your money.
Yeah, the cheddar I make is
now speaking
peculiar
of
this, as a food product.
Speaking of said cheddar, thank you. We always love guests who bring products to the studio, Tom. What am I about to just salivate
this
here
is,
on?
This is vintage Coolattin cheddar, so it's actually 2 years old.
Oh,
it's almost left over. You have pointed out a disadvantage in that I have a lot of investment in stock, but the advantage is that the cheddar doesn't go off. It actually improves with age.
Yeah.
And I'm actually getting more money for the vintage cheddar than I am for just the mature cheddar, which is 1 year old.
That is
Coolattin cheddar, mature Coolattin.
That is. Can I just say it? That is absolutely just
thank
like
you.
It's mouth-watering. It's beautiful. It's the taste.
Thanks, Bobby. It's made from raw milk. You have to remember. There's a few important points with this. It's grass-fed cows. It's raw milk and it's matured for a long time.
Talk to me about raw milk. Again, raw milk sends a shiver of terror down the spine of some people, particularly health inspectors.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
How do you work with raw milk? I suppose.
Yeah. Well, you see, the health inspectors seem to be under the impression that you have to heat treat everything and kill every bacteria that's in the food, and all food has to be heat treated before it can be eaten safely. But there is other ways of eating safe food, and there is a mistake in that we should be really eating beneficial bacteria. And if you take out all the bacteria, then the bad ones have a chance to recontaminate or multiply quicker.
Okay.
So my cheese contains, I actually add beneficial bacteria, lactobacilli starters to, and there's a lot of health giving properties in that, you know, and they produce lactic acid and they help the storage and they make it safe, and the lactic acid stops the other bacteria from growing.
And this is all expertise that you developed in your craft the years.
Yeah. It is. It's a traditional way of storing food that was developed before they ever had pasteurization.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Okay, folks, we're talking cheese. My guests are Kevin Sheridan, Tom Burgess, and Peter Conway O'Neill. Kevin, it's just so refreshing to talk to Tom there about his love for his product, to talk through about age-old processes that really we seem to have forgotten about.
Yeah. I mean, the cheese, it's such a special product in terms of how it reflects who we are, our food, our landscape. Tom was talking about raw milk cheese. I mean, one thing you've got to remember is all Parmigiano Reggiano, in other words, Parmesan, is legally has to be made from raw milk. So this isn't just something that's, you know, something that wonderful producers like Tom's doing. This is, and Parmigiano Reggiano is the biggest single part of the Italian agriculture economy.
Yeah.
And that's raw milk cheese, and legally has to be raw milk cheese. So it's not just a sideline thing. This is something that really works and produces fantastic cheese. But yeah, it's all about the cheesemakers, Tom, and all the other great Irish cheesemakers in Ireland translating what we all know that Ireland's great. We all know that, you know, when we drive through, we see the cattle out in the fields, we've got family farms, we've got small fields,
and we have wonderful cheese.
And we've got that raw ingredient. And then with people like Tom and other cheesemakers, then translate that into this food product that we can taste. It's an incredible thing, you know.
Totally transformative.
Yeah, yeah, but representative. And so it encapsulates both the culture, like the landscape, all the benefits that we have there, but also the people, the culture.
Yeah.
And puts those two things together and forms a product that can represent that.
Kevin, I have to ask you something. As a flag bearer for artisan and cheese producers, as you have been over all the years, you're now working with one of the big multiples in Dunn's stores. Is that considered a sellout by any of the cheesemakers?
No.
Is that something I just have to put to you?
Cheesemakers generally are very happy when the orders go up. and that's the bottom line there. And for myself and Seamus, you know, obviously when we were approached, we had been working with Dunn's and Simply Better with our crackers anyway. So we'd had a really positive, easy relationship with them. Then I was asked, you know, would we do this, first of all, in the Stephen's Green Shopping Centre? Immediately, yeah, you know, you go, ooh, big company. You know, we're a very small family-style company. But we went for a walk and we talked about it, and it came down to two things. What do we do? What do we love doing? Selling cheese. And who do we like selling to? Everybody.
Yeah.
So we went along to Dunn's. It's our own staff. We pick every product that's in there. That's why we're in there. They don't want us to be something else. They want us to be Sheridan's there, and they've given us complete freedom to be Sheridan's. So now we are selling Irish farmhouse cheese to everybody. You know, it's not about a posh shop on a posh street. That was never what it was about for us. We started off in a market stall.
Yeah. And the point you make there about your own staff with your own cheese in a different environment, it gets you to a bigger range of customers.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, what we sell obviously is brilliant cheese, but it's all about the chat, you know, letting people know where it comes from, giving them advice, that relationship. And it's something, I mean, it's another great thing about Ireland. Here we have, you know, Dunn's going back to having experts in the shops talking over the counter.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I'm talking to friends in the UK and it's all about that's shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking.
Yeah.
And we're coming back to it because people want to go in. They want that personal relationship.
Expertise.
They want to know,
expertise,
craft, a chat. You know, that's such an important part of the product, and we've been able to do that. So it's absolutely fantastic.
Peter Conway O'Neill from Fallon and Bourne, can I ask you pretty much the same question about consumer trends? You know, we're hearing Kevin there. Mm. What's hot, what's not in cheese at the moment?
Well, for us, for the moment, we are our five biggest selling Irish cheeses would actually happen to be Mount Leinster, which is the cloth-bound aged cheese by Tom here. Following that, we have Killeen, which is a Go Gouda from just outside Porthumna. Mossfield Extra. Following that is Coshatira and then Kool-Aid Vintage. So there's an interesting way of like, these are kind of stalwart cheeses they have been around for so long, they've established themselves in a certain way, they can practically pretty much sell themselves.
Okay.
So for us, it's almost a way of as well trying to fine tune other kind of cheeses. Like, for example, we were down with Durris cheese a week or two ago, and with us brought back some of the Dunmanis cheese, which is something that kind of went off our radar for a while. So you're trying to maintain this the continuity of the cheeses on the counter.
And can we back all the horses in the race in terms of being good at cheddar, being good at soft cheeses? Like, or like, should we specialise in something, or should we be dipping to be artisan? Should we be, you know, making all different types of cheeses?
I think for people to go out there and find their niche, I think it's kind of important. I think you have to be inspired by a cheese in order to kind of follow it through if you want to go to the production side of things. But like, I think we're blessed, like in Ireland, because regardless of, like, you know, the science employed about making the cheese and everything else, you really have to look at like the premise, which is like the quality of the milk. Without the quality of the milk, you're not going to make. You can technically make a cheese, but whether it's going to be good or not is completely reliant on the milk itself. I think we're very blessed in Ireland for that. I think also as well in terms of like the pasture feeding as well. Like, we have a brilliant run in terms of pasture feeding from February to November. If you go over to like French Comte and those kind of regions as well, like even particularly the Alpine cheeses, you know, they have a very short run of pasture.
Tom, you might pass me down the cheese there and I'll ask you another question. Tell me, Tom, why you decided to become a cheesemaker. What attracted you to the business?
Well, around 2000, I was a dairy farmer for about 15 years before I started making cheese, and I was frustrated really by milk order system and constraints in production, and I wanted to get into something else and something maybe more interesting. And when I looked into various products, cheese, cheddar, and I was into eating cheddar, I enjoyed it. But I also could see that I had the potential to tick all the boxes in regard to product control, quality control, and produce a unique product that came from my particular farm.
Yeah.
And couldn't be copied anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because cheese will reflect the farm, you know, and the cheesemaker will actually, you know, get into it and start making things, but he'll end up with a recipe that kind of suits his own predicament and his own situation, his own soils, and whatever limitations are there.
And you clearly love what you do.
Yes, I'm passionate about it. Yeah,
that's great. It's a really good story, Kevin. Last word to you on the future for the artisan cheese producer. Where do you see it going?
It's going to continue to grow, and it's been for our 21 years that we've seen. You know, this part of the journey has been an incredible journey. We still have a lot of the cheesemakers that we worked on that first day. Some has dropped off, but we've got lots of new cheesemakers as well. And it's really complex. You know, there's small little producers who are only selling at local markets, and they're really important. There's medium-sized ones. There's larger producers who are export-focused. It's growing. It's becoming part of, you know, not just this sort of niche culture, but it's part of everybody's everyday life. It's a real food culture, and it's not only the cheese. The cheese has been the avant-garde. Now we've got, you talked about coffee, how many Irish roasteries, apple juice, every town and village you go to, black pudding is back.
It's all about the purity of the product.
But it's been led by this idea, and I think it was a lot of confidence given by the cheesemakers, those early cheesemakers, people like Helen Willems and Veronica Steele and Jeff Gill, as you talked about. They went out on their own, out on a, you know, just in incredible situations, and started making this product. And the confidence that it's given us and the culture it's developed, I think we're only at the start. We're at the end of the first chapter in terms of incredible
story.
Can I just say
that the farmers' markets were a great help. Well, I started with a farmers' market stall before I started making cheese, and I found out what people wanted. And
when as
I came
did Kevin.
Out, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was great for a starter up to get into a farmers' market with a small amount of product, do quality testing the market, and what the you know, you're getting immediate feedback from the customer who's eating the cheese.
Well, listen,
that's
all
a great thing for
all
for
three of you are great ambassadors for your product and for your craft, and we thank you for coming in. My guests are Kevin Sheridan, Sheridan's Cheese, Tom Burgess from Coolatin, and Peter Conway O'Neill from Fallon and Byrne. And next time, Kevin, I would say to you, maybe bring some crackers. Yeah, Tom exactly. Bought all the cheese today. So thanks very much to our
thank
cheesy
you,
guests.
Thank you.